Wow, this week went fast. In a blur. That does not include a lot of sleeping. Oy, it was not a good day for sleeping. I know there are people out there who can identify, those of you who work second and third shift, where sometimes it's just not easy to sleep when the sun is up or when your pets are up. My gosh. My dog, sometimes she sleeps like a rock during the daytime, and we've had a couple of really good weeks where she's just been exhausted. And so, you know, she's a really tough life. And sometimes she sleeps so well. And the last couple of weeks were so promising. Not today. Nope. From, say, 11:30 in the morning until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the dog was up every 5 minutes with her toenails. Click, 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 click. All over the bedroom on the hardwood floors. And when she wasn't click, 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 she was doing this, standing up, sitting down and going. I mean, the dog, it sounds like a really old lady who is having a hard time getting up and down out of a chair. I mean, the dog's a mess. And then she has to sigh, and then she has to move around, and then every now and then she has to check and see what I'm doing, which is waking up every time she moves and makes a peep. So finally, right around 2 o'clock, after 2.5 hours of click, 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 she decided then she needed to go out.
Bring the dog out.
Once the dog came back in, so she gets her treat after she goes out in the backyard, gets her treat. Oh, guess who was snoring? Yeah, that'd be the dog. Not her mom. Not me. Nope. Took me another 90 minutes to fall back to sleep. And by then, I really only had 30 minutes left to sleep. Oh, brutal afternoon. Thank you, Penny. You want to take a wild guess what Penny's doing right now? Yep, sleeping, because it was a really tough day for the dog, too, you know.
We got dogs, you hear me?
Oh, I heard her. I heard her all day long. But it's okay. As I said to producer Jay, it is the end of the work week, and this is it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It could be worse. I could have had to fight off a rabid fox in my backyard. Did you see that story about a New York woman who had a fox in her front yard and the fox attacked her and she thought she was going to be eaten alive? She actually had to go to the hospital because she was so nervous, but the fox literally attacked her. He was rabid.
I didn't know foxes would really approach a human like that.
Well, if it's rabid, I mean, any
rabid fox.
Yeah, any rabid animal will attack anything. Really,
that encountering a rabid fox.
When they're rabid, they're fearless and they're crazy, like literally crazy. And so, this fox. I don't know if you saw this story. This fox. There's actually photos and video out there. So this fox jumps on her in her garden and bites her multiple times and continues to attack her. She thought she was going to be eaten alive.
Eaten by the fox.
Get this. She suffered 16 bite wounds from the incident. I'm telling you, there's
photos out there.
I'm looking at a couple
still shots right now.
Yeah.
Holy
I mean,
crap.
That's what happens when the animals are rabid. They're crazy. And they don't act anything like what they would if they were not rabid.
She's like punching it and kicking it?
Yeah, she's trying to punch it and kick it. She thought it was the neighbor's dog. And instead, it's a relatively little fox. She couldn't get away from him. And so anyway, there's photos of her wounds, too, which are, ow. Thank goodness she was a retired nurse and she knew what to do for herself. But
wow.
So like I said, it could be worse. At least Penny was just waking me up because she had nothing better to do, I suppose.
Well, do we know if they caught the fox? Because that
caught
thing,
the fox?
Yeah, like someone's got to take control of that situation.
If they caught the fox. Well, you know what? Why don't we look? Google it. Can you Google
catch the fox?
Rabid New York fox caught? She thought that it was the neighbor's dog. That's the part that's crazy.
16 puncture wounds on
her
hands and legs.
I told you there's video. I don't even think I could only watch a little of the video. So apparently a neighbor came over and smacked the fox. Like found a stick and started hitting the fox. And that's when the fox ran away.
She stayed in her home for a week after the attack. Apparently this wasn't today.
I mean, wouldn't you be afraid to go out in your garden if you got attacked by a rabid fox?
I don't know. For really got her. Really rattled her, huh?
I can't imagine. Those things are wiry and quick and fast. And I mean, this is a 61-year-old woman. Just, ow. Like, ow. I'd be nervous, too, because here's the thing. If that fox bites other animals, they can be rabid as well. And then all of a sudden, you have a rabid army coming after you in your backyard.
Sounds like the beginning of a horror movie. But I do have confirmation that they did indeed get the fox.
They got it?
They got him.
How do they get him?
I don't have...
Are you scanning?
Details or description of how they captured him.
I need some details about how they captured him.
It just says that they got the fox, and he has been taken. He was taken to the local hospital, tested for rabies, which he did test positive for.
Yep.
So they did have to put him down.
This is what, of course, this is why you get rabies shots for your pets, because if they get bit by rabid animals, they too could turn on you. Not to mention, it's a tough disease.
But wouldn't she have to go to get a shot for rabies and not be in her house for a
week? Maybe she already had a shot for rabies.
Just in the medicine cabinet?
No, I mean, sometimes you get vaccinated. When I traveled internationally, I had to get rabies shots.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know that it's something that every human does, but a lot of humans do get rabies shots. Okay, on that note, yay, okay. Hi. Happy Almost Friday. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got a lot to get to tonight. I thought we were going to have time for a Hall of Fame induction because we have some great audio, and I wanted to do one before we hit the football season. But instead, we'll save it till early next week. We generally do them on the last show of the work week, but since I am starting my vacation next Wednesday afternoon, we'll do it sometime middle of the week. Maybe we'll do it as part of, we'll do it like our Monday show to help us get through a manic Monday. We'll do a Hall of Fame induction. Actually, next week, we've already got some good guests lined up for you as a precursor to the NFL. But do you know, in this space, 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about the season opener. What? When do you suppose is a good time for me to actually look at the NFL schedule? I haven't yet. I know that the big release happened a couple months ago and people get all geeked up about it. They start predicting the number of wins for their teams. I mean, all of that is so not worth my time. But I haven't actually looked at the actual NFL schedule. I do know, however, that on Thursday, September 8th, 2 weeks from tonight, it'll be the Bills opening up the season at the Super Bowl champion Rams.
Run it back! Run it back!
In L.A., SoFi Stadium, site of last winter's Super Bowl. And then when we get closer, we'll talk about all the other games. I do know that I've got some friends who are going to be in Seattle for Russell Wilson's return with Denver at the Seahawks, which, of course, is the home of his first 10 years in the NFL. So I know a couple of the games that are on the week one schedule, but not all of them. Tampa Bay Dallas is kind of the repeat, or I should say the other half of last year's season opener when it was the Cowboys at the Buccaneers. Remember, the Cowboys almost beat them last season to start. We'll see how they match up this year. But otherwise, I don't really know a lot about the NFL schedule. Week number one, I'm just not there yet. I've got a vacation first. Vacation first. But I'm not checking out. I mean, still have three shows next week before I'm on vacation anyway. So we'll get to the latest from the NFL preseason. Not only do we have a couple of games on the schedule tonight, the last appearance of Trey Lance before he takes over as the starting QB for the Niners, but we also had a very classy tribute to Len Dawson in Kansas City, where the Chiefs and Packers were playing their last preseason game. And actually, in a couple of minutes, we'll be joined by former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes, who's now part of the Chiefs broadcast team, who worked with Len Dawson and knew him personally before Len retired from broadcasting a few years ago. And so we wanted to get his reflections and his memories of the Hall of Fame icon who passed away earlier this week at the age of 87. So Danan Hughes will join us in a few minutes here from Kansas City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. While we're in the midsection of the country, Central Time Zone to be exact, it was a power surge for one Paul Goldschmidt, who is, I would say that if he's not the front runner for the MVP, then it's impossible to ignore him as a candidate.
Newcomb is working on a 1-2-3 inning here. There's a swing and a long one. Left field, Goldie just hit a home run. His 32nd home run of the year, his third RBI of the day. And I smell the coffee brewing. A swing, and there's a fly ball center field. That's hit deep. Back to the wall. It's a goner. A home run over the 400-foot marker in center field. Paul Goldschmidt with a two-home run day, and the Cardinals lead 8-2.
So Paul Goldschmidt goes 3-for-4 with 5 RBI. Home run number 33, 105 RBI now, and his batting average is .339. And this is a guy who is tops or close to the top in all three of the Triple Crown categories. And actually, he says it was the day off that really made a big difference. It gave him some juice in his bat.
They're great. We need them. We try to spread them out throughout the year. You try to stay healthy and play as much as you can. But, you know, we got a deep roster, and that's why Ollie's been able to rotate guys in and out. And it's going to take a team effort, and hopefully we'll keep it going.
It's what you're trying to emulate as a ball player yourself, hitter, position player, but just as a person, too. It says a lot about him. It's fun to watch, right? Like, I mean, if you don't show up and you're ready to watch a great baseball game, I mean, come out and watch us play sometime. It's a lot of fun. Sitting on the bench or being out there in the best seat out there on the mound, it's a great time.
We actually got a power surge from the top home run hitters in the National League on Thursday evening. So mention Paul Goldschmidt, who is second only to Kyle Schwarber. He smoked home run number 35 for the Phillies on Thursday. And then we also saw Pete Alonso wield a very powerful bat as the Mets are back in business against the Rockies.
3-0 pitch. Fastball hit high in the air. Deep to left field. Forget about it. That's way out of here. Off the facing of the second deck. Pete Alonso demolishes a two-run homer. And the Mets now lead 3-0 in the bottom of the third inning.
Jacob DeGrom, who has struck out 7, not walked a batter, not allowed a base runner. One out in the fifth. It's 3-0 New York. And the 2-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a bouncing ball up the middle. Lindor to his left, dives, has it, gets up, just throws a Hail Mary to first that's not even close, pulling Alonso off the bag. And Jose Iglesias is aboard with an infield single, the first hit and first base runner for the Rockies against Jacob DeGrom.
So there's a lot there from Wayne Randazzo and Howie Rose on Mets Radio, but you did hear Alonso's 31st home run as he powers the Mets to their 80th win of the season. Now, DeGrom was bumped back a day, so he missed that second game against the Yankees. They said they wanted to, give him an extra day, get their other guy back in the rotation, blah, blah, whatever. So there's all kinds of speculation about whether or not DeGrom was sore or if he was needing extra time. But he was brilliant because that's what he's been since he returned. He goes 6 innings and throws 87 pitches, allows just a single run on 3 hits, and strikes out 9.
I feel good. We went a little bit above the one in Atlanta and felt good after that. So I think that was the real test. And then what did I end with tonight? 87. So I think, you know, probably the next one it'll be let me go however long, 100 plus.
Ooh. 100 plus. I don't know. Is that what Buck Showalter has in mind about Jacob DeGrom and his pitch counts?
Once you get out there between the lines, it's about pitching and getting people out. All the other stuff that's going on in St. Lucie and all the testing we do with all our pitchers and all that stuff, it's about competing out there. And if passes the eye test, and you know, he continues to pitch and getting input from him. Not once has he come and said, I'm done, take me out of the game. He doesn't do that.
No. Who does, really? I can't imagine there are many pitchers in the majors who do that. So the Mets are now at 80 wins. They end that short little losing skid that they had, dropping those back-to-back games against the Yankees. And because the Braves are off tonight, the red-hot Braves, who've won 8 of their last 10, what was it, 14 of 16 for the Braves, too. The Mets have a two-game lead over the World Series champions. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, who are also off tonight, have got the top record in the National League and actually the top record in the majors. They're sitting at 86 wins. So they're still the top record in the National League up for grabs. It's not as though the Dodgers have put it away. In the American League, the Astros make quick work of the Minnesota Twins. Boy, did they beat up on the Twins in this series, which they played these last few days. And so they've been able to pad their wins, their win total against the Twins, who've dropped six in a row. The Astros, meanwhile, have won four straight, all of them against Minnesota. And they're sitting on 81 wins. So they've got the second most number of wins along with the Dodgers. So it goes Dodgers, Astros, Mets. And, I mean, this is not something you would have thought possible. But the Yankees, as they've won four in a row, they beat up, they pummeled the A's tonight. As they do that, now they've won four straight, and that's got them to 77 wins. It is crazy, the length of the Major League Baseball season and how anything can and will happen. The torrid pace the Yankees set in the first half, and now they're not even at 80 wins, while three other teams in the majors have already reached that milestone, that mark. So we'll get to the rest of Major League Baseball, but former Chiefs wide receiver, current Chiefs broadcaster Danon Hughes has agreed to give us a few minutes to talk about Hall of Famer Len Dawson, who passed away this week, who was honored by the team just a few hours ago in their final preseason game. And then we'll pick his brain a little bit about the Chiefs and the AFC West as the season is just about to kick off. Amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Great person. If I think from every interaction that I've had with him from my first rookie camp to now, I mean, he's always been someone that's shedding advice and light into just where we are at. I mean, he's someone who appreciates being the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback and being in the Kansas City community. He was the quarterback. He's the one that helped the Kansas City Chiefs become who they are.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Patrick Mahomes, recognizable, of course, speaking about the late Hall of Fame quarterback Len Dawson. And the Chiefs take the extra step to honor him with a special huddle that was a throwback to the 60s and the 70s in the style of Len Dawson when he would get out on the field with his offense. So they did that before their first snap in Thursday night's preseason game against the Packers.
It's a tribute to a great person, a great player, and then all he did in your profession there. Very seldom are you a Hall of Famer in two different things, man. He had a wonderful life and really took advantage every day he had on earth here.
Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs no doubt will take some special steps to honor Len Dawson over the course of this 2022 season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, we're pleased to welcome former Chiefs wide receiver and current TV and radio broadcaster Danon Hughes back to the show. And Danon, as the Chiefs take this moment to honor Len Dawson, they do this special huddle, the type of huddle he was known for. What was it like to see it out there on the field, to hear the fans also honoring Len?
Well, it was incredible. It was an incredible experience. And I will say first that it was just a great show of class, not just by the Chiefs organization, but also from the Packers, Matt LaFleur, and his organization, as well as the officials. Everybody was involved in it. The penalty was called, and I don't know if you got a chance to hear the audio, but the official said the penalty was a delay of game on number 16, which was Len Dawson's number.
Aww.
So it was really cool. We got a chance to highlight it during the broadcast, but it just showed a lot of class between both organizations and the officials to be able to honor such an icon, not just a Kansas City icon, but an NFL icon in Len Dawson and his passing.
He was a Hall of Famer. He was a Super Bowl champion. He was an AFL champion. Knowing him the way that you did, Danon, what did he mean to this organization, this franchise that waited so long for another Super Bowl after that era had produced its winners?
Well, you know what? If you got a chance to talk to Len, he kind of fit right into this organization. And you know, when we look around the NFL, when you look at different teams, whether it's, you know, the Monsters of the Midway, and you see different guys on those teams, Hall of Famers or big names, you kind of say, okay, yeah, he kind of fits that. He kind of fits, you know, Lambeau, or fits Chicago, or fits New York. And that's what you got with Lenny. I mean, he kind of fit this. If you had a chance to get to know Lamar Hunt, you know, very unassuming, quiet, reserved, very humble person, for how great he was and all the great things he did with the AFL and the NFL and creating the Super Bowl and all that stuff. And Len kind of carried himself the same way. Like, you had to really, like, realize, whoa, like, that's Lenny Dawson. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and as a broadcaster in the Hall of Fame. Very few people are in there in both. And you look at the Ring of Honor and you see him and you hear all the stories. And then the amazing work that he did on the broadcast when I was playing. And he comes and sits next to you in the locker room and just chats with you. And when the rookies come in town, he goes to dinner with the rookies and just sits down and chats and talks about old stories. And then you look at his, you know, his resume and what he was able to accomplish. I mean, he was 87 years old, led a complete life, a full life. We heard the stories during the broadcast today that, you know, he would go and practice all day long and then take off his equipment and then interview his teammates, then hustle to the local TV station, do the 6 o'clock news, go back home, eat with his family, then go and do the 10 o'clock news, and then do his more studying for his football job, and then do it all over every single day. And then, you know, what he was able to carry into inside the NFL. We know how that launched the NFL and broadcasting all the teams across the world. I mean, it's just amazing to think of. But as a person, and I tweeted this out, you know, when he passed away, that he was an incredible man and a KC icon, and it was in that order. And it was just such a treat to get to know him.
Mm. Danon Hughes is with us from the Chiefs broadcast, radio and TV. That was a seat that Len Dawson held until, what was it, 2017? It wasn't that long ago that he was doing the color commentary for the Chiefs broadcast. So I can imagine it's kind of neat now to be in that same situation yourself and recognize these are some pretty incredible shoes that I've been filling. And and I can only imagine, too, what it meant to guys like Patrick Mahomes, others who followed along and played that same position, to have this Hall of Famer who was still around the team and part of the team even so many years after he played. But it mattered to him to be involved.
I have five kids, and there was a time where my little baby kids would put on my shoes and put their feet in my shoes, and you'd recognize that there's no chance that their feet could fill those shoes. That's kind of how I feel in the broadcast, because Len, the booth at Arrowhead Stadium is named after him. And what he meant to that organization, what he meant to guys like Patrick Mahomes, 2017 was when Patrick came into the league. And Patrick talked at length about the conversations he had with Len. Lenny, you know, was getting up there in age, and he recognized how special Patrick was in his first year when he didn't start, but he had that one start against the Denver Broncos in week 17. And Lenny, at that point, told Clark Hunt and everybody around him, that kid is going to be special. And lo and behold, we've seen what Patrick Mahomes can do. But it was just an amazing, amazing thought to an experience. And watching him interact with guys and Travis Kelce. Like, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were not supposed to go on the field today. They weren't going to play in the game, so there was really no reason for them to go out on the field. And yet, they made their way onto the field, and they said they wanted to be a part of that. That's how much respect that they had for Len Dawson and how much they wanted to honor him in that huddle for the first play on the offense. He's the epitome of what all of us former players should strive to be on and off the field, how he carried himself, the professionalism that he displayed. I mean, if you look through his resume, like, why wouldn't you want to have a chance to be in the same zone as him and fill the same booth and wear the same headphones and try to accomplish the same goals? He was a part of great championship teams, and he'll forever be missed.
In your conversations with him going back a few years, how happy was he to see the Chiefs win another Super Bowl?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, if you go back to that Super Bowl in 2020, it was special, Amy, because we were in a separate section. We were in the stadium down in Miami, and we were all together within rows of each other. And as everybody was screaming and jumping around, our section was silent. There were tears. Oh. There were, hugs. I mean, it was different. Because we know, for lack of better terms, we know that we had let the Chiefs' kingdom down throughout all the years that we had 50 years between winning a Super Bowl. And Lenny was up there with us, and he was a part of that. And, to know how much this organization means to us and how much we mean to them and how they embrace us as a family, even though we've played, decades since we've been on the field. And to see how they were able to get over the hump, 13-3 seasons, number one seeds, losing in the first round, all that went down the drain when Patrick Mahomes was able to kneel down and we were able to get that victory. And Lenny was a part of that, and he was one of the brothers. It wasn't like he was, a step ahead of us or above us. Guys like he and Jan Stenerud and Bobby Bell, Hall of Famers, we're all brothers. We're all part of the same fraternity, and that's how he always interacted with us.
And no doubt the team will honor him with maybe a special patch or an armband because he really was the foundation of the franchise in the NFL. Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, now with the TV and radio broadcast teams. We're going to have you hang on through an update, and then we'll talk about these Chiefs and the new look AFC West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We are spending a few minutes with former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes, who's part of TV and radio now, and really appreciate your thoughtful words and your memories of Len Dawson, even as the team honors him at the beginning of its final preseason game against the Green Bay Packers just a few hours ago. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So, Danan, now thinking about the Chiefs and their training camp and preseason, what stands out about the team and what you've seen so far?
I've seen a renewed energy. And that's crazy to say when you talk about a team that's hosted the last four AFC championships, that's been to two Super Bowls, that's won the last six AFC West titles, and we're talking about a renewed energy. Like, teams would do anything to have the old energy, and we're talking about a renewed energy. And it's special to see. I think the defense is faster, we're younger, and they got a chip on their shoulder. And to me, that's a dangerous place to be when you're talking about having the best quarterback in football, having the best tight end in football, having some dangerous weapons and some young talent. We had 10 draft picks. They're calling our rookie class the Fab Five, like the Michigan Wolverines, because we got five rookies that are going to be big contributors on this team. So you got a healthy mix of old guys with a chip on their shoulder and high expectations, and young guys that are learning how to keep up with that. So I'm excited about this season. We got the first portion of the season is going to be a gauntlet. I mean, we have to go out to Arizona, then we got to turn around quickly 5 days later and play at home against the Chargers, who everybody's picking to win the AFC West. And then we just kind of go through a lineup of really, really good teams. But that's what happens when you are a number one or number two seed seemingly every year since Patrick Mahomes has taken over. I mean, you're going to get the best schedule the next year, the best teams, and you got to step up and be the best team that you claim to be.
So does this renewed energy come from looking at a new challenge, a new and improved AFC West, or maybe a little bit about some of what the departing players have said regarding the Chiefs?
I think it's a mixture of all. I mean, as a former player, like, you think of everything, and you've been around athletics long enough. Like, players, they dream up stuff to have chips on their shoulders about. Like, he said something about my mama. He called, you know, he doesn't like dogs, and I'm a dog guy, so we're going to go out there and beat him up, you know, whatever it takes. And when you have that sour taste in your mouth about how the season ended in the AFC Championship at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, that can carry you through not just another season. It can carry you through another an entire career. And those guys have that bad taste in their mouth, and they're determined to show what the real Chiefs are made of, and they want to start that against Arizona. And like I said, we've been fortunate so far, came out of the preseason relatively unscathed, and I think we're going to be able to come with our all bullets in our chambers ready to go at Arizona. And this team has really been good under Andy Reid. If you look throughout his tenure, we've been really strong starters. And I go back to Marty Schottenheimer, who coached me. He used to say, start fast, finish strong. And that's what this team has done. Now, it hasn't been the strongest because we only got the one Super Bowl, but we've finished pretty darn strong, and I think that's what they're going to do this year.
When you hear a Tyreek Hill say that the team's really going to miss him and it's not going to be the same, what's your reaction to that?
I understand it. Like, as a former player, there's a level of invincibility that we have that gets you to this point. Like, you don't think that people are better than you. You don't think that teams will be as good without you. That's the mindset you have to be able to excel at this level. And that can be in the NBA, NFL, NHL, wherever. And so I understand that mindset. But in the back of Tyreek's mind, I think he knows Andy Reid. He knows Eric Bieniemy. He knows Steve Spagnuolo. He knows what Brett Veach does in evaluating talent. And we may not be the same, but we're not going to be worse. And I think Tyreek Hill knows that. This team is going to look different, but I don't think they're going to produce any different. And I think a lot of his brothers on this team wish him well down in Miami. You know, it's unfortunate that you see different comments that he's made referring to Patrick Mahomes. And now this week we saw Sammy Watkins
Right. Make
some comparisons with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And you know what? Technically, I can live with Sammy Watkins saying that about Aaron Rodgers because he's a multi-MVP and
Right. He's
a Hall of Famer. But Tua? Like, come on. Like, Tyreek, you're stretching there. But I can understand as a player, you're trying to do what you can to support the quarterback that's throwing you the ball now. But they wish him the best, and who knows? We may see them in January.
You wouldn't think it was necessary to say anything at all. Great, talk about your new quarterback and how accurate he is, but there's not really anything to be gained by making these public comparisons and holding up Patrick Mahomes like he's some kind of a slouch.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe you would be more reserved at saying something if you had to face Patrick Mahomes in week 7 or week 14 or something. But conveniently, you don't have to face him this regular season. Yeah, so I guess you can be a little bit more chatty.
Danan Hughes is a former Chiefs wide receiver, is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned some of the young players. Who are a couple of new Chiefs to watch that you've seen already show that they're fitting in?
I tell you what, Brian Cook is a safety from Cincinnati, had an interception today. I think he's going to do well. Trent McDuffie, the first-round corner, has really done solid. And the interesting thing about him is that through the broadcast, we haven't really said his name. And that's a good thing. That means that he hasn't done anything wrong on the field. Yeah, and there hasn't been any plays made in his area. So I'm confident about him. And George Karlaftis, the first-round pick from Purdue, I think he's going to bring a different kind of energy off the edge. He's had 2 sacks in the preseason. Didn't play much this evening, but to me, he's a guy that has an engine. Kind of reminds me of Max Crosby, Jared Allen, who used to be here with the Chiefs. Guys, Tom Bahali, who have that never-die kind of energy. And he, mark my words, later this season, you might have me on, and I guarantee Karlaftis will have at least 2, maybe 3 strip sacks.
Ooh.
Or chase down from behind, knock the ball loose from a ball carrier, because that's the kind of energy he brings to this defense. So that's going to be different. We haven't had that in a while, and I think it's going to work well with Chris Jones and Frank Clark and those guys.
Does the phrase 13 seconds now live forever in Chiefs infamy?
Absolutely. It's the greatest it's the greatest football game that I had ever witnessed.
Wow.
And the greatest executed football game that I had ever witnessed. You're talking about two teams that, to my recollection, didn't have a turnover in that game. You know, both quarterbacks playing at the top level. It reminded me of Montana versus Elway, the Monday night miracle that we had in 94 up in Denver, where it was just blow for blow, neither team making a mistake. One team just played better than the other. And 13 seconds to be able to accomplish what they were able to, It showed their coaching. It showed their preparation. You didn't see any guys freaking out on the sidelines, slamming helmets, being upset. They expected to put themselves in a position to tie that game. And I think when you look back, and I know the NFL Network has replayed that game over and over, you look back at how that game was executed. Josh Allen and the Bills taking advantage of miscues, and then the Chiefs popping back, and the big play by Tyreek, and the touchdown by Travis. So many great highlights in that game. I think it goes down as one of the greatest ever played.
Oh, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, 7 touchdown passes between them, and a 42-36 final in overtime. Just part of an amazing NFL postseason last year. All right, so before I let you go, Dane, and there's been a lot of traffic, a lot of change in the AFC West. What do you make of the new division?
You know what? It's par for the course. We've seen this before. Teams, when John Gruden was with the Raiders, when Patrick Mahomes burst on the scene, every team in the AFC West drafted and acquired talent to try to beat the Chiefs. You can go back and look at it. Teams, it's all started with the defense. And now teams have decided, you know what, maybe it's not going to be the defense that's going to break down Patrick Mahomes, that's going to help them try to beat Patrick Mahomes. Maybe it's going to be the offense. Maybe they're going to try to outscore. So what do you see? Devontae Adams going to the Raiders, Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. You see a retooled Chargers team. These
right.
teams are standing together saying, we're trying to prepare for a 46-42 game
Whew.
Against the Chiefs. That's what they're each preparing for. And you give that's a lot of credit to Andy Reid and Brett Veach, but at the same time, I feel really good about our team. I feel like this can be a team that can win a 7th straight AFC West Championship. And also, I kind of feel like the team that'll be right behind them is the Denver Broncos. They've been down that road before where they've had a solid defense. They put in a little-known quarterback named Peyton Manning, and then what? Lo and behold, they go to the Super Bowls. And I feel like that's the recipe that they're trying to follow this year in getting Russell Wilson. I think they're gonna be a formidable opponent.
I can't believe we're almost to kickoff. Do you remember the excitement and anticipation from when you were a player?
Oh, absolutely. Coming out of that tunnel at Arrowhead Stadium, I mean, there's nothing like Arrowhead Stadium. I know there's a lot of different fan bases, and people in Seattle might say differently, but if anybody's ever played at Arrowhead Stadium, it is an experience that is like no other around the NFL. So, yeah, I'm trying to contain myself and not look past the Arizona Cardinals because that's where we have to go in week 1. But that Thursday night game, the first game on Amazon against the Chargers, is going to be something special. It's going to be something similar to that Bills playoff game, and I'm looking forward to it.
There is a reason why there are so many of these AFC West games that are on primetime TV.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find Danen on Twitter at DAHughesGuy83, and he's a former Chiefs wide receiver, now part of the TV and the radio to cover this year's team, and really appreciate your memories of Lenny Dawson. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Oh, no problem. You can also follow me on Instagram, Danen Hughes, and I'll be doing some pregame stuff before each game, kind of keys to victory and so on. So trying to get a little bit more content out there. I think this season's going to be special, but thanks for having me.
Insta, Danen Hughes on Insta. That means you're cool, I think. But yeah, really neat to be able to talk to you, Danen, thank you, about the Chiefs and this extra juice they've got, this extra energy. I think the rest of the NFL and specifically the rest of the AFC better watch out, as if they need more motivation than watching what the rest of the AFC West is doing. That's good stuff. And I will say it again. I've said it multiple times on this show. I will say it again. I do not understand for the life of me why Tyreek Hill is running his mouth about Tua. Why? Now, Sammy Watkins, I guess, is really excited about his new quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. That part I could see, but it seems like it's open season on the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense, and I don't get it. There does not need to be any extra motivation. So good stuff with Dana, and I appreciate him joining us on the heels of the final preseason game for the Chiefs. And there are preseason games all the way through this weekend, including a couple on Monday, if I remember correctly. And so we're talking about the final few days before they all wrap up and get a breather over Labor Day weekend, kind of, not really, because game day starts on Monday. And then, can you believe it? In 2 weeks' time, we will be looking at the very first game of the NFL season. Oh my gosh, it's here. But vacation first, please. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.